You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Care and support workers are gutted and disappointed after a Ministry of Health recommendation that will not see workers get a pay rise of more than 70 cents an hour for at least a year. In May, workers rallied around the country and presented a petition with more than 10,000 signatures calling on the government for a bigger pay rise as part of the renewal of the Care and Support Workers or Pay Equity Settlement Act to combat worker shortages and financial hardship. I spoke with Kirsty McCulley, the director at Etu, and I began by asking her about why the Ministry of Health's pay decision is regarded as such a big setback.
I think it would be fair to say that care and support workers are feeling absolutely gutted and really disappointed by the recommendation that the Ministry of Health has made, because what it means for this group of 65,000 care and support workers is that they'll have an increase in July of about 70 cents an hour. And that pay increase will have to tide them over for a minimum of 12 months, but probably an 18-month period. And basically, with the cost of living being so high at the moment, cost of living increases, it just means that care and support workers are really struggling to just pay the bills. And we know that there's been quite a few push factors for workers in terms of reasons to leave the sector. And some of those things have been around COVID, the stress and pressure of doing the jobs that they do out there in the community every day. But, you know, fundamentally, if you can't afford to pay your rent, pay your mortgage, pay your bills, you're not going to be able to stay in a job, even if you really value the work that you do. And so it's really disappointing because these are people out there in our community that do incredibly challenging but also incredibly important work. You know, this is a group of workers who go out there supporting people with mental health issues, people who have long-term disabilities or other disabilities, people who are older and need support in their own homes as they age, or people in our residential aged care facilities. And so we know that the jobs are really challenging anyway, and so to have this kind of increase proposed at a time when everyone's already been struggling and has been really just trying to make it through the pandemic seems like a real insult for a lot of people.
Something like this would ultimately drive workers out of the sector?
Yeah, absolutely. And so what the workers are saying is that they're already feeling really burnt out. They've already been doing pretty huge hours. And so this is just another factor that will push them out of the sector. I mean, I have been talking to care and support workers over the last few days, just preparing them for what this outcome is going to look like. And what they're saying is, why would I stay in a job where I'm at risk every day with COVID, and I'm also under huge pressure because I don't necessarily have time to do my job properly. In our residential facilities, people are already feeling a huge pressure because of unsafe staffing levels, and they don't really feel that they're able to deliver the kind of quality care that our elders and our people with disabilities and our people with mental health and addiction issues need. And so to have this added pressure at this time is really concerning. And we also know that it's a huge concern for the employers in the sector. There's a lot of not-for-profit and some for-profit providers in the sector, and they are really struggling to recruit people. They're saying that people have got other options, like, picking kiwi fruit for $30 an hour down the road. And these jobs are actually really quite challenging on many levels. And so why would they do something where they've got all that additional risk and potential cost to themselves to do this job when there's something that's higher paid and potentially way less stressful in another industry or area at the moment? And so the other solution, I guess, is that workers need to take a pay equity case in this sector for the long term, because this is the long term solution, right? That workers who are currently extremely undervalued for the work that they do in care and support, primarily because the work is done by women, these workers need to take a pay equity case and have the true value of their work recognised for the long term. And so in amongst the negatives from the Ministry of Health around the dollar amount of the settlement, There are some positives. One of the positives is that these workers have been prevented from taking a pay equity case for the last 5 years because of the settlement in 2017, the Care and Support Settlement Act, which was a result of the legal case that Christine Bartlett took, which went all the way to the Supreme Court and was a battle that took, you know, nearly 8 years. And what the Supreme Court said in that case was that there was a serious undervaluation of the workforce because of the work, because of the work being done by women and because of the way it was perceived in our community and across society generally. And so that settlement was not actually a full pay equity settlement as such. It was just a negotiated outcome from that legal case because the government of the day, which was the National Government, wanted to manage the risks around the cost of that settlement. So there's been a prevention or a ban on workers taking a pay equity case during the life of that settlement. And the positive news is that the ban on that will be lifted and workers will be able to lodge a pay equity claim so that the full value of their work can be recognised, and we'll be lodging that claim as unions in the sector representing the workers on the 1st of July. So that's one positive to look forward to. But it is a real shame that the Ministry of Health in the negotiation process or the discussions that we've had to date haven't been able to commit to some locked-in timeframes and resourcing for that pay equity process, which again leaves workers up in the air as to how long they'll have to wait and allow this 70 cents to tide them over until a future point when a pay equity claim is you know, processed and we move forward on that. So really what workers are saying is we need an increase before that point, and we need some locked-in commitments from the government as to how long that pay equity process will take and what resources they'll allocate to it so that care and support workers across the country don't have to wait indefinitely for another pay increase. And they shouldn't have to. I mean, these are not high-paid workers. The lowest rate in the current Care and Support Settlement Act, which sets the pay rates for these workers, is $21.84. You know, that's getting pretty close to the minimum wage. And actually, we could see a situation where the minimum wage eclipses that rate. It's definitely not a living wage. And there, with all of those other costs and pressures in the sector at the moment, you can understand why people would be looking elsewhere.
That was Kirsty McCulley, the director for It2. I then spoke to Jocelyn Pratt, an organiser for the PSA, about how this would have a drastic impact on the health worker sector.
Well, they're looking at a settlement of their rate for healthcare assistance. So we represent community support workers who work in community home support or disability support, mental health and addictions. Working with people with mental health and addiction needs in the community. So the workers in this sector very rarely get penal rates for working weekends or night rates. If we look at the home support workers, at the moment who use their own cars to travel between clients, they're reimbursed for their vehicle costs at an average. And that's calculated at currently 63.5 cents a kilometre. IRD rates are 83 cents a kilometre now, they've gone up. And so these workers are even struggling to put petrol in their car to travel between clients just because of the low income, and also that vehicle reimbursement is also an issue for home support workers, not the other groups. So, yeah, really disappointing. We're seeing workers leave the sector. They've had enough. These workers have worked through COVID. It's been incredibly stressful. They're essential health workers, and you know, it's time that they were treated with respect and dignity. They do an amazing job caring for the most vulnerable in our communities, keeping people out of hospital and supporting them to live independent lives. They really need to be recognised for their skill that they have and their training and their qualifications.
I also spoke with Kirsty about how it may be very difficult to attract new workers to the sector as well.
Well, attracting new workers to the sector is a problem. With the bottom starting rate, with the proposed increase, will be $22.45. even other contracted workers from DHB are paid the living wage, which will be $23.65. The minimum wage is $21.20. So the start rate for coming to the sector is incredibly low. And also the requirement for training to go up through the qualifications for higher rates. We already see a turnover of workers coming into the sector where the pay rates are not good enough for people to stay. A lot of the jobs are actually far more complex than what the general public thinks or understands. So, you know, these are workers providing support and care for some really high complex and high needs clients. If we look at some of the home support people, you know, they may be people with spinal injuries, they may be people who have just come out of hospital, there may be people with long-term needs that these people support. So personal cares may be showering, it might be changing a stoma bag, very up-close and personal work, bowel evacuations, all sorts of things. These are, you know, many of these workers are very skilled and qualified and their pay rate just doesn't recognise that. People working in the disability sector, again, some very high complex people that they support. Not a job that, you know, many people can actually do with compassion and empathy and have those people that they support live in dignity. Hugely complex, really skilled workers, and the pay rates are the pain are just not going to keep people in the sector. The other problem is these skilled and experienced people are struggling now. They're doing double shifts, they're working additional hours, they see new workers come in who don't stay long, and that responsibility and stress goes back to the fewer experienced people who have been worked in the sector for a long time. So a real problem to attract workers. In Northland last week, there were a couple of residential houses, where they had to bring workers up from Auckland to staff. The existing staff were working a huge amount of extra hours, and the only way they could keep those residents open and support those clients was bringing workers up from Auckland. So it's already at crisis point with the with not an adequate increase in the pay rates. It's only going to get worse.
That was Jocelyn Pratt, an organiser from the PSA. Finally, I spoke to Ruby Sayer, a healthcare assistant in residential aged care, about her experience working in healthcare and why the ministry's pay decision may make it difficult for younger people to want to have a career within the sector.
Yeah, so it has been a real big setback for us. Obviously, so I'm only 23 years old. I've been working in aged care since I was 15. So as you can imagine, when I first started out, you know, our pay was really little, about $15 if I remember right. So when our pay equity came into the situation in 2017 after our big fight for that, it was quite a big change going from $15, $16 to $21. So at minimum wage at that point was about $17. So we were a big step above minimum wage, and that was drawing a lot of people into our industry. But now, as our pay scale hasn't increased, with the minimum wage increasing over the last few years, our lowest rate for a caregiver is now just above minimum wage at about $21.80. So as you can imagine, that's been a massive setback for us. You know, now our job's gone back to where it was, a minimum wage job that people don't want to come into. And as for me being so young, you know, like, there was potential for this to be a lifelong career, you know, with our pay scales increasing and being able to have that education to progress. But now we've come to a standstill and there's nowhere for me to go now. I've progressed up to the highest scale I can at level 4, health and wellbeing. So now I'm a bit stuck, and it's a bit of a shame because it could be a career for a lot of younger people if there was somewhere further for us to progressively get better.
What is your experience with working amidst a shortage within these health services?
Because of the lack of retention due to our pay, it's been hard for us to keep staff in our industry. So at the moment, you'll notice nationwide, there's a staffing shortage in caregivers and nurses in aged care because the pay is just not enough for us to keep people in. People are heading to the DHBs and overseas to Australia as well because they get treated better, there's more money, you know. So the staffing's been real tough. During COVID also with our mandatory vaccination, so that forced a lot of people out of our sector.
Yeah, and I guess from your perspective, what does this mean for other young people wanting to get into the health sector?
For young people, you know, a lot of young people only come into the health sector a lot for nursing and doctoring because they've got, like, progressive steps that they can, you know, better themselves at in the future. So it's a bit of a shame because aged care and home support and things aren't seen as a progressive step for a lot of people. We see a lot of nursing students come in and work casually or part-time because it will look good, you know, once they do step into their nursing roles. But as for aged care, you know, it's left out of the health sector. You know, lots of people don't even consider it. It's just something that's there for people who aren't studying, really. And that's how I think a lot of younger people see aged care.
Do you have a message for students or any younger person who is wanting to get into a health profession but is a bit unsure due to this kind of setback?
Yeah, I think I just want to say, like, it's such a purposeful job, you know, working in the health sector. We wake up every day to make somebody's life better, you know, to give them more quality of life and improve their health so that they can, you know, be the people who they once were or who they want to be, like, go back to being. I think in aged care, you know, we are their families and we are their faces, we're their advocates. You know, if people want to be in healthcare, you know, we have to be strong. We have to be strong together and just make it an industry that people are wanting to come into, that it gives them purpose and meaning in life. And I think a lot of young people have that sort of energy and that sort of passion, and it's something that we really need to see more of.
That was Ruby Sayer, a healthcare assistant in residential aged care, speaking about her experience working in healthcare and why the Ministry of Health's pay decision may make it difficult for younger people to want to have a career within the sector. Also, a big thanks to Kirsty McCulley, the director at ETU, and Jocelyn Pratt, an organiser from the PSA, for their takes on the matter.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.